Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord gave us His Word to help us. The Word of God is the milk and meat to a hungry soul. And so when a person studies the Word of God, he becomes more and more like Christ in his thinking. The knowledge of the Word of God should increase, so that his witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will be according to Scriptures, and the people around him would be blessed. But not everyone can approach God and bring before Him whatever they desire, whatever they want. In the Old Testament, when God started the nation of Israel, one of the most important things Israel was given by God was the tabernacle. Afterwards, it was replaced by the temple. But the significance and purpose of that building remains the same. The tabernacle was the place where God's presence, His home, was supposed to represent. It means God has set up His home on earth, and it is found in the midst of the people of God, whom God called Israel. And this home has two rooms, a holy place and a most holy place. And in this particular room, you have the lampstand, which signifies the truth, the light. You have the table of showbread, which represented the people of Israel, is the place where the food, the Word of God, would be. And to tell Israel, what you are, your very existence depends on God and God alone. And then you have in front of them the altar, place of worship, a place where they gather in front of. And then behind that curtain, you have the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwells. A very important building, a very privileged position given to Israel. And amongst all the 13 tribes that entered the Promised Land, 12 of them were designated to look after the land of promise. Only one tribe were not permitted to own any portion of the land except for 48 Levitical cities that God gave to them for them to live in. But they are not to encumber themselves with farming or with shepherding. They had only one duty, and their duty was very simple, to offer up physical sacrifices. No one on earth, except the people from the tribe of Levi, had been given this honor and privilege. Not anyone in all the Gentile nations, no matter how sincere they were, not permitted. Not anyone from the 12 tribes, even though they might want to, except the people from the tribe of Levi. And not anyone from the tribe of Levi, but only the descendants of one man, Aaron. The Levites were to be the assistants to the priests. And only the descendants of Aaron were permitted to take all the offerings of the people of Israel, and the offerings of any proselyte, Gentiles who were converted to Judaism. They can't bring the offerings themselves. No one was permitted to do so, not even kings. A king cannot be a priest, and a priest cannot be a king. The two offices were very separated by God. And so the people from the lineage of Aaron were unique. There were no ones like them on this entire earth, except the descendants of Aaron. This was by birth, by appointment, by God's permission. And so no one was allowed to offer any sacrifices except the Aaronite descendants. The Levites were to assist. There was only one exception when the Bible said that the Levites were more holy than the priests, while the priests were being sanctified and cleansed of all their sins before they could serve as mediators, as worshippers, as the people who could offer sacrifices. And so the Levites were granted permission for that one situation only, to take over some of the duties of the priests. But other than that, they were only assistants. The reason I mention this is to help us realize how unique a position that God had entrusted to us. To offer up spiritual sacrifices, not physical. Physical sacrifices were what they did in the past. Anyone who did so by faith would be believers. Those who offered only out of a matter of duty and formality, not by faith, they were not born again. Did many of them do that? Yes. Were all the descendants of Aaron automatically believers? Of course not. For example, you look at the two sons of Eli. Eli came from the lineage of Aaron's fourth son, Ithamar. They were rascals. They were wicked. And Eli failed the Lord and failed the people of Israel because he did not discipline his two sons who abused their privilege as the only mediators to offer sacrifices in the whole world. And so just because they functioned as priests did not make them believers, because they did what they did out of a matter of duty and formality, with no heart, with no soul, with no genuine faith. And that is why for us today, when we as a church took over the nation of Israel as God's witnesses, there are no Aaronic descendants. God says, everyone who is truly born again in Christ, you are automatically permitted by God to offer sacrifices. And God said it has to be spiritual sacrifices because you are now all spiritual people. And the people who are able to do so, unlike the Aaronic priesthood where it is a mixture of believers and unbelievers, depending on the individual, the New Testament church, everyone who is able to offer up spiritual sacrifices has to be a spiritual person. And therefore he has to be born again. Because a spiritual person is a person who has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You can offer physical sacrifices like the Old Testament. But if you are not a believer, even though what you offer may be seen by people as a spiritual exercise, because some people think that giving of offering is a spiritual exercise. If you're not born again, your offering is just physical. Nothing spiritual about it because you are not spiritual. Oh, God can still use what you put into the offering bag and use it to extend His kingdom and to bless others. But you are not blessed because you are not spiritual. You are not born again, or you could have given out of a wrong motive, out of compulsion, because as a duty, you have to. You did not give cheerfully out of your love for Christ, even though you may be a believer. What you have offered is not a spiritual sacrifice, even though you are spiritual, but because you gave with the wrong motive, that offering is also merely physical. So only truly born-again believers can offer spiritual blessings when they offer it correctly according to God's teaching in the Bible. Otherwise, there is no automatic. It has to be done personally, individually. I can't do it on your behalf. You can't do it on my behalf. This is an individual, personal offering of spiritual sacrifices. And so who qualifies? Where is this ability come from? Who is the source that enable us, Almighty, would accept? Oh, we're going to talk more about the nature of these spiritual sacrifices as we go along. But we have to first look at the source, so that you and I will never forget that who must receive the credit, who must receive the glory, offer spiritual sacrifices. Should people pat us on the back? Should people put us up on a high pedestal? Should the church be named after us? Should memorials be built in our honor because of how great and numerous spiritual sacrifices we have offered in our lifetime? The source from verse 4 is none other than the Lord Himself. Unto whom? Coming. Now, who is the whom? Look at the last part of verse 3.
If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and so the whom is the Lord himself. So to whom coming? So it is a reference to the Lord's coming. As unto a lively stone, singular, a lively stone, in contrast to us believers in verse 5, ye also as lively stones, plural. Alright, so verse 4 is a reference to the Lord Jesus himself. Alright, so to whom coming? So the Bible tells us from verse 1 to verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2, why God taught us and remind us of the importance of studying God's word so that we can become more and more like Christ in our holy witness. Please remember the source of everything that you and I do is none other than Christ. Now Christ had already come. He came, he died, he resurrected, and he has ascended. So what exactly is this coming referring to? To whom coming? So it's not about coming to save us. He had already come and already finished his work. So this coming is not the usual word for coming and going. This word coming literally means to draw near to someone. So that means with the study of God's word, we have the nearness of Christ. The nearness of Christ together with the Holy Spirit. What exactly will this result in? What is the outcome of the Lord's coming? Not a reference to his first coming to save. We already say this is not a reference to sinner becoming saints. This is reference to saints becoming better servants, offering up spiritual sacrifices. That means this coming is a reference to sanctification. To make us more holy, to make us clean as vessels fit for the master to use. You can't offer spiritual sacrifices when you are unclean. Why do you think in the Old Testament, the priests who were on duty, the first thing they do in the morning before they receive the first worshipper who had brought his offering, they must first offer offerings for themselves. They offer sin offering and burnt offering to wash and cleanse away all their sin so that they can be fit for this day only to receive the offerings of the worshippers until the end of the day. And then the next morning when they start again, they have to do the same again. Offer a sin offering and a burnt offering, and they have to repeat this continuously until the Lord comes. Because the animal sacrifices was a temporary typology, representing Christ until Christ's actual first coming. But the principle remains the same. If they were not cleansed, they were not permitted by God to receive the offerings of the worshipper, and then as the only mediators on earth to take these physical offerings, whether it is an ox or a sheep or a goat or turtle doves or pigeons. They have to be cleansed first. And that's why the Lord's coming with the word of God to sanctify us. Because that's exactly what the word of God will do. To make us clean. To have the right thinking. And when you and I have the right thinking, if you recall last week, it will transform your desires. And once your desires are changed in line with the word of God that is now in you, your desires become Christ's desires because your thinking is Christ's thinking. Your knowledge is Christ's knowledge. And therefore, your words that come out of your mouth that will cause you and help you to fulfill your desires will also be Bible-based. Your actions that will help you accomplish your desires that are now based upon the Bible that will turn your desires into a reality, your actions will also become holy. And that's why the first three verses, the focus is on God's Word. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who will take the word of God to sanctify us. so that you and I can become cleansed and fit for the Master to use as the only mediator on earth that can offer to God spiritual sacrifices. Nobody else can, except truly born again children of God that have been cleansed and fit for the Master to use. Remember what Jesus Christ said on the high priestly prayer in John 17? After he prayed for himself, he prayed for the believers. And then at the end of it, he prayed for the future believers that will be us. And in the case of the believers, did he not say to God the Father, I do not ask or pray that you will take them out of the world, but that you will sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. Remember? The sanctification process, the power, so that they will be cleansed and fit, so that the image of Christ that they bear will be crisp and sharp, so that by their good works, people will not make the mistake of not seeing Christ. The world needs to see Christ. The world needs to see Christ in us. Because Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But Jesus Christ has ascended to heaven and seated at God's right hand, which means the physical, literal person of Christ is no longer visible on earth, like he used to do before his death and his resurrection and his ascension. But yet he's still in the world. Because if he is no longer in the world, he is no longer the light of the world. That's what he said in the Gospel of John. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And so where is Jesus Christ in the world today? In you and in me. And so if somebody asks you, where do I find this Jesus Christ? I want to see him. Well, you can come to 290B Bukit Batok Street 24, Unit 1669, and you will be able to find Christ. And you'll be able to see him. Did you all take down the address? You mean to say again? No need. That's my home. Everywhere that is a Christian, if somebody asks you, can you show me where to find Christ? You just give them your home address. That's exactly what it means. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So that means if Jesus Christ is no longer in the world, he's no longer the light of the world. And yet, he is still in the world today, because when you share the gospel, people can still come to know Christ and be saved. How come? Because Christ is still in the world through you and through me. That's how important your life and my life is. That's why the sanctifying power is crucial. That's why you don't forget that whenever you are able to offer the spiritual sacrifice, that the source, your ability, is the Lord himself. Without Christ, you and I can offer nothing spiritual. Oh, you can offer many things physical. You can offer all you want. And that's what you see in the world. Many people offer so many things physical to God. Whether God accepts is another thing. But God today tells us that you and I are able to offer spiritual sacrifices that are not made with the hands of man. That is not made out of the material of this world. It's spiritual. And the source is always the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did so by saving us, and then he continues to draw near to us using the word of God to sanctify us, so that what we do is done with the right motive, with the right purpose and the right method, so that it will accomplish the right result. The end does not justify the means. The end is holy. The means are holy. Everything must be holy from beginning to the end. That's a spiritual sacrifice. As unto a living stone, a stone that builds up but not dead, a stone that builds up but alive. That's why it's called a living stone, a living building. In the gospel, the Lord tells us that we are laborers, or no, in 1 Corinthians, I beg your pardon, we are laborers and co-laborers with God. Right? That's what it means. When you and I are serving, we are laborers and co-laborers with God. When you use a spiritual gift, you are laborers together with God. And then at the same time, the Bible says, we are a building at the same time. So how can we be a laborer and a building at the same time? It doesn't seem to make sense. If we are a laborer, then how come we are also the building? Well, the understanding is very simple. When you are using your spiritual gift, and then other people, when they are receiving the spiritual gift that you are now using, they are blessed, they are built up. So when you are using the spiritual gift, that person is now being built up, he is the building. But when you are not using a spiritual gift, and that person is now using his spiritual gift, you now become the building yourself. That's why as I use my gift, I build you up. As you use your gift, you build me up. For example, just now, the people who play the piano and the organ, because of their use of the spiritual gift, they help us to sing in unison, to sing at the right tempo, so that we can all worship God in a manner that is cohesive. It's one voice. Imagine we all sing at different timing. People who come into the church and look at us, oh, how come you all sing like this? Some fast, some slow, some all over the place. Nobody can hear what anybody is singing. It's a mess. But when you start to play, we all begin to sing in tune and at the right tempo and with the right feeling and the right mood. Because you use your gift, and as we sing in this manner, we are all the building being built up when you use your gift. But now that you're not playing, just now I was being built up by the way that you minister. So now I have my turn to use my gift. So now I'm ministering the word of God to you, and just now you minister your gift to bless my heart in my worship. Now I am the laborer, co-laborer with God to build you up. That's how God wants us to look at your life and my life, and as we continue to build up the life and the witness that we impact others with, our witness, it's a life. It gives life to people, because when people look at your life and my life, our holiness will increase. And when our holiness increases, the image of Jesus Christ will become clearer and sharper. So that when you give the gospel to someone, the person look at your life, listen to the gospel, you don't have to say anymore. Because you are the walking testimony of the power and the impact of the love of God in Christ that the gospel can do to a person. That's why it's called lively stone, the stone that gives life. Because that's what they use the stone to build up into a building where people can live inside. Because nobody lives without inside a building in a house, because in Israel it's freezing cold. Or it could be terribly, terribly hot in summer. You need a building so that your life may continue. And so borrowing this image in Israel where it is wilderness, and sometimes the temperature could rise to 40 over degrees centigrade, and when it snows, it can be below zero. You need to live inside a building in order to sustain life. And so God used this body of ours that's been cleansed and washed by the blood of Christ, that this building, this witness, that God continued to build up so that we can become more and more Christ-like. It all begins with a lively stone, that is Christ, the source. He is the one that gives us life. He is the one that turns this dead witness, this dead body of ours, into a spiritual body and a life-giving witness. Our source, a living stone. Sure, the enemies has disallowed it. They rejected it. They don't want it. They don't care for it. Rejected, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God, and always precious in the sight of God. That is Christ. So you have to bear this in mind, the two contrasting reactions. To the world, Christ was nothing but a criminal and a crook. That's why they crucified him like a common criminal. But in the eyes of God Almighty, when he looked at what Christ did on the cross, covered in blood, punished like a common criminal, not for any sin that he had committed, for he was perfect, but for the sins of the world. Precious to God. He is the source that enables you and me to offer to God spiritual sacrifices that God Almighty would accept. What makes you think that you are good enough to even approach God? Don't talk about offering sacrifices that He should accept, if not for Christ. That is why whatever we do, if it becomes a blessing to someone, we must never forget the source. We are not the source. We are just the instrument. The Lord Himself
is the source. And you and I must only bear His image, not His and yours mixed together. That would be a failure. It has to be Christ's image and Christ alone. You want to offer spiritual sacrifices, remember the source is none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if what you do brings blessing to people, blesses people's heart, you point everything to Him and give Him all the glory. Not even 0.1% should you take as your own. He must receive all the glory, and all the glory must be given to Him and to Him alone. Because He is the source that enables us to offer any, even the most minutest little bit of spiritual offerings, sacrifices. He did it all in your life, and then to come and sanctify us and make us holy, to be fit and cleansed vessels on a day-to-day basis to offer. Don't forget the source as we think of the offering of spiritual sacrifices. The problem with us is when God uses us mightily, we begin to think that if not for me, the ministry would suffer. Look at the ministry before I took over. It was small, it was languishing, people were not interested. But then after you have taken over, 10, 15, 20 years later, the number multiplied 10 times. It is now very vibrant, very much alive. And so from a floundering ministry, it is now turned into a flourishing ministry. And so people begin to praise you, to say words, whereby, wow, you're such a wonderful leader. Wow, because of your devotion. Wow, because of your diligence. Wow, because of this. Wow, because of that. And so you think that you have offered up spiritual sacrifices because of who you are. And you have forgotten that it is all because of Christ. And Christ alone. Don't ever forget. Because otherwise, even though you may have started very well, offering up solid, Christ-honoring spiritual sacrifices, but if you do not last to the very end, and you fall, you're going to do more damage than if you had not started offering any spiritual sacrifices. And you know the God of this world is no fool. When a person, for example, first graduated from the Bible college, nobody knows him. He has not started his ministry yet. And so as he began his ministry, when people do not know him, if he were to be exposed by the devil and he falls, he doesn't lead many people down the slippery slope of unbelief and stumbling. He doesn't stumble many people because nobody knew him. But after 20 years of ministry, 30 years of ministry, and now suddenly a lot of people knew him because he is effective and because of his use of the many wonderful spiritual gifts, he is now known by many. And then the devil will expose him because of your pride, because of your arrogance, because you think that you are the source of all spiritual sacrifices. And when you fall, having been promoted to such a high position, when you hit bottom, it will be the loudest bang that you could ever imagine. I was told by someone that when a person wants to commit suicide, if he were to jump down from the second story, the noise he makes when he lands is nothing. The higher he goes, the louder the bang. That's what the person told me. Because as he was walking one night, he heard a loud sound like a gunshot. But it was a person who killed himself. And he landed on the grass area, and it was so loud, it frightened him. The higher you go, the louder the bang, the more people you will stumble. So never forget who the source is in your life and in my life, whenever you are able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. The manner to do it is to know who you are. And so, Christ is a lively stone, chosen by God to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, always precious to God. And that's how you must always remember Christ. Chosen by God, a lively stone to give us life and to sustain our life. Always precious to us. Always precious to us. Not to the world, but to us. Then, with that understanding, you begin to look at yourself. Ye also, that's us believers now, believers, as lively stones, plural, like Christ. That's how you must be, like Christ. Don't be anything else. Anything else, you will be dead stones. Any kind of work that you want to do that will point someone to other people except Christ, that work you do is dead works. You are not able to do any work that will bring life. Because as a lively stone, your life that God has built up in Christ is supposed to bring lives to others. And the only life that the Bible speaks of is spiritual life. What the sinner, what your friend, what your colleague, what your classmates need from you the most when you go to school, when you go to work, is not your ability, whatever you do. Let's say you are an engineer. What they need from you most is not your engineering genius to help them build beautiful bridges or buildings or tunnels. None of these things. These are only the byproduct whereby you interact with them. What they need from you most is spiritual. Your life as a life-giving building. Because you have believed in Christ, our chief cornerstone, our lively stone. And because of Him, we are all small, lively stones. And if you do not project the image of Christ to them by your own, to show them how great a genius you are in your skill, in engineering, computer, doctoring, whatever you do, you are a big fat failure to your Heavenly Father. And to them as well. Because what they need from you is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. Because they are dying in sin. And they do not know that they are dying in sin. They also do not know that if they were to die in sin, they will end up in hell. You do. And you do not care enough for them to fulfill the mission that God has entrusted to you to be a living stone, a life-giving witness to them. Because God has made us lively stones, built up a spiritual house. That's who we are. A spiritual house. A house that will give out spiritual things. See, sometimes you and I dichotomize the world that we are living in. Secular outside, spiritual inside. And so what are some of the spiritual things that we do? Come for prayer meeting, that's spiritual. Come for worship, that's spiritual. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, that's spiritual. That kind of dichotomy is dangerous, because if you do not understand the context very carefully, and you think that there are such a thing called spiritual activities that are inherently spiritual, then you are wrong. There is no activity that are inherently spiritual. Because if you think that way, you think, for example, that reading the Bible is a spiritual activity, and then you have an unbeliever who reads the Bible. So you're saying that unbeliever can now do spiritual things? If you think that by reading the Bible is spiritual, are you saying that an unbeliever reading the Bible, it will become unbeliever doing spiritual things? Which is an impossibility. The natural man can only understand natural things. So there are no inherently spiritual activity. Please do not have that kind of dichotomy. Out there, secular. So when I go out there, I just do secular things. I come to church, I do spiritual things. And so people will become like a schizo. So, secular things, so you dress in a secular way. Right? Secular way means what? Immodest. And then Sunday, oh, another wardrobe. So this, at home, if I go to your house, your wardrobe should be secular wardrobe. Huh? So inside that got secular clothes. And then the other wardrobe, spiritual wardrobe. Open by all the conservative, modest, spiritual clothes. Is that true? I hope not. When can I come to your house? The Bible says, if you give someone a cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose your reward. What does that mean? Everything you and I do is spiritual. Why? Because you are spiritual. Even as simple as giving someone a cup of cold water. And of course, Elder Winston didn't give me a cup of water, he gave me a bottle of water. So that's spiritual. You are spiritual. Everything you do has a spiritual value and dimension. So please do not draw a line and say, this is secular, I use my secular, carnal motives and philosophy. Spiritual, now I do spiritual things. Don't dichotomize. It's a wrong dichotomy, which will result in a wrong thinking and wrong conduct and behavior. Everywhere you go is spiritual because you are spiritual. You can mop the floor, is spiritual because you are a Christian. Vacuum, iron, cook, wash, all these are spiritual activities, so you do it with joy, with gladness, because these are spiritual activities that a spiritual person is doing for the glory of Christ. That's what it means. You are now a spiritual house whereby everything that you do is spiritual, because a spiritual person is a person who has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So do you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God? Yes. Will the Spirit of God leave you? No. When a person dies in Christ, his body is left behind. He goes to heaven. Does the Spirit of God still dwells in him? Of course. Because is he still spiritual in heaven? Obviously. So, he is still in heaven, and so the Spirit of God dwells in his spirit, making him still a spiritual person, understanding spiritual things in heaven. And then when he is given the resurrected body, is he still having the indwelling of the Spirit of God? Of course, he will never cease to be a spiritual person. Otherwise, he cannot understand anything spiritual. That's why the Spirit of God will never depart from him, because that is the definition of a spiritual person. The natural person understands natural things. The moment you become a Christian, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You understand both natural things and spiritual things. But the unbeliever can't. Only one dimension, the natural. And so when the Bible says you are a spiritual house, it's basically describing you as a spiritual person. Everything you do can have a spiritual significance and dimension, unless you do it with the wrong motive, you do it in sin. Then, what you do is categorized by God as wood, hay, and stubble. If I preach the word of God because my motive is to promote myself, I like to be in the limelight, then what I have done is called wood, hay, and stubble, because the motive is wrong. But if I did it out of the right motive, constrained by the love of Christ, then it will be called gold, silver, precious stone. Your life and my life is always made up of two types of material. When you do it for Christ with the right motive, gold, silver, precious stone. All those areas of your life that you do after salvation to the end of your life, if it is done with the wrong motive, with the wrong agenda, then it will be called wood, hay, and stubble. God will evaluate your life and my life based upon the word of God, because everything you do will have a spiritual purpose and significance, and that's why you are the only ones who can offer spiritual sacrifices, because the things you do are all spiritual as a Christian. So what are you doing that will be categorized under offering spiritual sacrifices? Coming to church, serving in church, go out and witness, living a life of holiness, always be a blessing and encouragement to people. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you are basically offering spiritual sacrifices. Please don't think that it's only when you read the Bible, when you come to church, then only you do spiritual things and offer spiritual sacrifices like giving offering. When you go out and witness and do things outside, you are not. No, everywhere you go, you are offering spiritual sacrifices because you are spiritual. Whether in Singapore or overseas studying, whether in prison or whether you are on mission trip, it does not matter. Anywhere and everywhere. When Paul was tied up in prison, chained to soldiers after soldiers, and every soldier who was chained to him, he shared the gospel. He is doing spiritual work while he is languishing in prison. He shares the gospel with the soldiers, one after the other. And then elders and other Christians would come and visit him, and he encouraged them, and he wrote many of the epistles, and he did it with the only purpose and agenda, and that is to promote Christ and to build up the faith of all these believers whom he knew that he would not see them anymore on earth, because soon he will die. His only care is to want them to grow spiritually and become better believers. That's why he wrote to the Christians in Philippi, not only should you obey God's word in my presence only, but more so in my absence. He was so afraid that they obey God's word in order to please him. That's why he said to them, it's good that you obey God's word in my presence, but more so in my absence, because when you do it in the absence of the Apostle Paul, it becomes a conviction. He was very afraid that they were man pleasers, because they all loved the Apostle Paul. They all looked up to him. The Apostle Paul had only one purpose, and that purpose is to promote Christ. He must decrease, Christ must increase. That's why he kept on saying that, I count all the things that I possess once upon a time as dung, in order that I might pursue after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what he meant when he said, he wants to live for Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's why God says that we are a spiritual house. That's you too. A holy priesthood. The only mediators today between God and everyone else. The only ones whom God says you can stand and take offerings and offer them, and God will accept. Believers. Holy priesthood. That's a Christian. That's you, that's me. And this is how you must look at yourself. Stop looking at yourself according to the eyes of man. You graduated from the university with an engineering degree, don't think of yourself as an engineer, architect, computer science expert, whatever it is, a doctor. Stop thinking of yourself in terms of the standards and the way and the profession of the world. Think of yourself when you wake up in the morning, when you look at yourself in the mirror as you brush your teeth and wash your face. You are a holy priest. You are a spiritual house. You are a lively stone. Where the Lord Jesus Christ had turned your life around and saved you and made you into a person that can also bring spiritual life to others. That's why you wake up and go through the new day. When you go to school, when you learn to sit still, and before you rush out of your home, read the Bible and remind yourself that you are a spiritual house, a priest of the Most High God, going to your class where you are the only truly born-again believer. Because of you, the whole class is now brought into the presence of the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Before you arrive, they can't even see the door into the kingdom of heaven because there is no Christian. They do not know where to find Christ. They do not know how to enter heaven. And then you arrive. And you bring with you the key to the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you show to them what a citizen, a child of God, who lives in the kingdom of heaven is like. Your life of holiness according to the Bible, with the Lord Jesus Christ helping you, using the word of God to sanctify you. You know how wonderful your life is. This is the abundant life that Jesus Christ speaks of. And then as you share the gospel, they look at you. An amazing testimony. A holy person. That's what it means. A holy priesthood. A holy mediator between God and man. And now you can hold the key. And tell them, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin, with all your heart. Turn to God in humble, genuine, sincere repentance and ask God to forgive you for Jesus' sake. And you receive Him into your heart as the one who died for you and now your Lord and your Savior. You can enter heaven together with you. That's what it means by offering up spiritual sacrifices, not physical, spiritual, whereby a person who is bound for hell can now be turned in the opposite direction and bound for heaven because of what you have done. And in the church, you are now among brothers and sisters in Christ. We are two areas of witnesses. Out there in the world, we point sinners to the Savior in enemy's territory where the God of this world is the devil himself. And you will get hurt. You're going to get abused. You're going to get persecuted. But when you come to church, it is supposed to be a home away from home. But you are among brothers and sisters in Christ who are supposed to help one another, not hurt one another. It's supposed to build up each other's spiritual life and not to tear down and hurt and break down. Those who are wounded outside come to you for help, for encouragement, for lifting up, to show compassion and love, to repair and help them heal their wounds so that they can be out again and witness again and come back and be built up again. That's what you are to do. That's the spiritual sacrifices that you are supposed to do. This is the manner in which you are to do it, by remembering who you are. The moment you forget who you are, you think that you are just a computer expert, you go there and that's what you're going to do. Just do computer work with nothing spiritual when you could have. Because all you do is just computer work, solve all the computer problems, troubleshoot. Medical doctor, you only fix their body and you can't fix their soul because you failed the Lord. You build buildings because you're an architect, but you did not build lives because you did not share the gospel. Because you've forgotten who you are. You are a spiritual house where in you dwell a lot of spiritual blessings. That's who you are. That's what Christ has done for you. As lively stones, able to give life to others in Christ. And God says you are the holy priesthood, the only mediator between me and the sinful world, you. That's how important your life is, dear friends. Don't fail God and don't fail the people in your life by living in sin, by going in the direction of carnality, by not studying God's word and living in ignorance. Why don't you turn your life around? Your life can be such a tremendous blessing. First to your own children, beginning with Jerusalem, and then to Judea, all your other relatives and friends. And then Samaria, the outer circle. All the people in Singapore that you can reach to. And then the outermost part, outside of Singapore. Your life can be such a tremendous blessing. And finally, do it to be accepted by God. Not do it for money, not do it for the praises of man, but do it acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, so that He will approve. Because when you do it for the acceptability of God, your motive must be right. And you will check your motive. You ask yourself time and time again, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to promote self? Or am I doing this to promote Christ? What is my motive? And if I'm doing this to promote Christ, then when I do wrong, I will beg for forgiveness. No matter what, because I know the only way to restore back the image of Christ in my life that I have hurt, profaned and defiled by my transgression is to genuinely, sincerely repent. You will do it. Because if it's to be acceptable by God, not only must I do it with the right motive, I must do it with the right way. And that means I must know God's word. Because sincerity, when done incorrectly, will still be rejected by God. You know that. If sincerity is sufficient, then Uzzah, when he reached forth his hand to steady the ark, when it was about to topple over, God would not have struck him dead. He was very sincere. He wanted to steady the ark because it was about to topple over. What was wrong? David did not study God's word and did not carry the ark properly into Jerusalem. turning Jerusalem into a spiritual capital, it was the right thing to do. But the means toward that righteous end was wrong. You don't put this on a bullock. You get four priests to carry it on their shoulders. And as you carry, you offer sacrifices, which was what they learned and did months later. But it was too late for Uzzah. He was very sincere, but he did it wrongly, and therefore he paid for it with his life. Do it with the right motive, but also do it with the right way. Constrained by the love of Christ. You already have the mind of Christ. The moment you become a Christian, the mind of Christ is already given to you. But the moment you became a believer, many things in your mind are still very much like the world. The knowledge of the world is still very much in our brain the moment we became a Christian. So we do not know how to love our spouses properly. As parents, we do not know how to relate to our children properly. As an employee, I do not know how to relate to my employer and my fellow colleagues properly. As a student, I do not know how to relate to my school friends properly, even though I may be a Christian, a newly born again believer, until I study the Bible. I study the Bible on how to be a Christian husband. Now I know how. I study the Bible, how to be a Christian father. Now I know how. I study the Bible, what is now my attitude toward my work? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. So the motive of promotion and more money is now out the window. I don't care for promotion. I don't care for money anymore. And so therefore, instantaneously, I look at my colleagues, no longer as my competitors fighting for promotion. I just see them as sinners in need of salvation. And so I will help them with an open conscience. Help them to become better, whatever. If they get promoted above me and become my president, my vice president in the company, even though they may be juniors, they came in later, and even though you may be better than them, and yet they get promoted because they are more visible than you are, you don't bother. You are happy for them, sincerely happy for them, and even help them to become better. Because all you want to do is to show them Christ. And that's how Christ lives. He lives for others. He doesn't live for himself. You are not helping in order to get anything from them. You are just simply helping them so that they can see Christ in you clearer. And so you do not know all these things until you study the Bible. And the more you study the Bible, the more your mind will become like Christ. That's why acceptable to God is so crucial and so important. You take care of that which is invisible to the naked eyes, because it is very visible to God. And since you do it for God's acceptability, you guard your motive, you guard your thinking, and even if man doesn't care and doesn't like it, you will still do what is right, because it is one of conviction. You do not do to please man. Because pleasing man is very deadly and dangerous, because man pleasers are people with little or no conviction. Because they will pick and choose who they want to please. And that's the problem today. You cannot offer any proper spiritual sacrifices if you do not do it for God to accept. Because when God accepts, everything that you do will be carefully scrutinized by your own heart. And you will make sure that it is according to the Bible. The motive is right. The thinking is right. The method is right. Everything is right. Only for the glory of God and for the blessing of others. No personal gain, no hidden agenda. You make sure. Because when you offer spiritual sacrifices, remember the source. It is Christ and Christ alone. Without Him, you and I can't offer anything spiritual. Number two, remember the manner in which you are to do it. Remember who you are. Lively stones, spiritual house. Lively stone, giving life through Christ. Spiritual house, dwelling in you, is the indwelling of the Spirit of God, making you a spiritual person, where you can now bring spiritual blessing to others. And you are the only mediators, a holy priest, between God and all the rest of the world. You are the only ones, just as Aaron and his descendants were the only ones in the Old Testament. We are the only ones in the New Testament who can stand between God and sinful men. Your prayer, your good deeds will be the spiritual sacrifices that you alone could offer, and always do it for God to accept, so that you will do so with the right heart, the right way, and the right result for God's glory. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this life, for it's a life that was steeped in sin, soaked in depravity, wickedness, unrighteousness, and all sorts of evil. And by Your grace and Your mercies, You redeemed us and saved us and washed us of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that these sin-stained hands are now washed by the blood of Christ that can do deeds, that can offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God for Jesus' sake. Help us therefore, O Lord, to live the remaining time that we have on this earth by remembering who we are in Christ Jesus as lively stones, because He saved us and delivered us from the bondage of sin, and turning this life that was once dead stones into lively stones, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God Almighty in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful life that You have blessed us with. Forgive us, O Lord, of our many sins. Forgive us, O Lord, when we have not lived our life according to what You have taught us this afternoon. Teach us, therefore, O Lord, with whatever time that we may have left on earth, may we live only for our Savior, offering spiritual sacrifices, because You have made us into a spiritual persons. Everywhere we go, we can offer spiritual sacrifices to the praise and glory of Thy holy name. May we do so, beginning with our homes, to our children, family members, loved ones and friends, and our colleagues and our school friends, and then to brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, and then beyond the shores of Singapore into other countries. Make this life a blessing, a spiritual blessing to many. For Jesus' sake, this is our heart's cry, O Lord. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.